You know, somebody can say, I'd love feedback, but what they really mean is I want support because I feel like that meeting didn't go so well. So those are the skills that we need to be working on with people.
You know, as we think about the future of work, the speed at which our world is moving, being faster than ever, means that organizations need to be really great at keeping up the speed. So today we're talking with somebody who literally wrote the book on thinking faster. We're talking with Matt Abrams, author of a newly released book called Think Faster, Talk Smarter, How to Speak Successfully When You're Put on the Spot. Matt is a leading expert in communication, decades of experience, been an educator, an author, a podcast host, a coach. He's a lecturer in organizational behavior at a small university you may have heard of called Stanford in their Graduate School of Business. He teaches popular classes in strategic communication and effective virtual presenting. He received Stanford's Graduate School of Business's Alumni Teaching Award in recognition of teaching students around the world. He's also helped countless presenters improve and hone their communication skills, including some who've delivered IPO roadshows, as well as TED, World Economic Forum, and Nobel Prize presentations. Matt's got his own podcast, millions of viewers, Think Fast, Talk Smart, the podcast. He's also the author of a previous book, Speaking Up Without Freaking Out, 50 Techniques for Confident and Compelling Presenting. I was able to catch up with Matt. We want to talk a little bit about, you know, his new book, but specifically as we think about the future of work from a leader's point of view, a coach's point of view. What are the things that leaders can do to better communicate, coach, when they don't have a lot of time? When the time matters most, here's Matt Abrams. Let's bring it in.
Well, I guess, Matt, to get us jump started, would you mind giving us a quick background on yourself and what brought you to write? We're talking today about Think Faster, Talk Smarter, I guess, a little bit on yourself and what made you write the book?
Yeah, well, thank you for the opportunity to chat with you. I'm excited for our conversation. So I'm somebody who's always been passionate about communication. I learned at a very young age that communication really is important. And I've had an opportunity through my career, both as somebody in high tech, I ran learning and development organizations for about 10 years, and also in the academic world, that communication is critical. Yet when we think about communication, we often focus on planned presenting, presentations, pitches, meetings that we organize. And yet, if you think about it, most of our communication is spontaneous. It happens in the moment. And I learned this very young in my life. My last name is Abrahams, A-B. I always went first in my classes. Teachers would put us alphabetically, and whenever they had us do anything, I was always the person on the spot doing it in the moment. So I learned how important and critical it is to try to do that stuff well. And that's what really motivated my exploration over the last several years into this notion of what I call spontaneous speaking.
I think that one of the, Matt, I think one of the best parts of the book is there's so many different angles for that you approach exactly what you just said. Of you're in a moment, you're maybe, you have to perform and want to perform a certain way. And to your point, there's so much focus on maybe over preparation, but you know, you come at it from so many different angles and your six steps model, like of the six steps, and for folks who haven't read the book yet, I guess, can you speak to maybe which one you get the most positive feedback, or when you talk to folks that have read the book, people coming out and saying, wow, this one really stuck with me?
Oh, you're asking me to pick which of my kids I love more.
Yes.
So I'm gonna cheat. I'm gonna give you two, and I'm sorry. So the six steps divide really into two major categories: mindset and messaging. And so from a mindset perspective, the very first thing we have to work on is how to manage the anxiety that we often feel in the moment of spontaneous speaking. Imagine somebody asks you a question and you feel on the spot to answer, or you're in a situation where somebody asks you for feedback and it's a high stress situation and you have to respond right away. So learning to manage anxiety is probably the biggest takeaway that people thank me for, because they feel that intensely. But messaging is also important. One of the mistakes that many people make when they're speaking on the spot is they just ramble on and on. They're discovering their response as they're responding. And we've all been victimized by that. So providing a structure, a clear beginning, middle, and an end to what you're saying can really help. So it's really those two aspects of messaging and mindset that really make a difference for people.
Given all the years you've had working in learning and development inside of organizations where, you know, your focus is how do you get people ready to work and put them in a position to be successful? Where do you think the biggest challenges are today when it comes to, you know, preparing workers to effectively communicate, whether they're in a customer service situation, a sales situation, or otherwise?
So I think there are really two. One has to do with where we focus our communication. Many of us focus so much on what we want to say rather than what the audience needs to hear. So I don't care if you're a customer service rep, if you're an HR professional, if you're an executive, you have to think about what's important for your audience. It's not just what you want to say, it's how do I tailor it in such a way that it's maximally relevant and important to the people I'm talking to. And that's been a perennial problem. There's nothing new about that. What is newer is technology and the impact technology is having on our communication. Technology allows us to do so many wonderful things, but it also serves as a barrier for engagement and connection. So we have to work extra hard. And folks who are younger, who are more used to technology, technology natives, as they'll call them, they're really good at leveraging the benefits of the technology, but they're not so great at the connecting piece. And those of us who are of my vintage, a bit older, an emphasis on the bit part there, you know, connecting is something that we're used to, that we expect, and the technology is newer to us. So it's finding that balance between leveraging technology and also maintaining engagement and connection that's hard.
I love the, there's a section in the book, you talk about going big on small talk. And, you know, it made me smile because so many, it feels like it's so many times in organizations that are trying to script a worker's response. It's almost like we're, you know, we talk about AI and robots coming. I mean, I don't know. Maybe we've already been kind of training our workers to communicate in a manner that is already robotic. It was really refreshing to hear that take on leaning into small talk while structured and doing it thoughtfully.
Yeah, so small talk gets a bad rap, right? And so a lot of good things can happen during small talk. You can build relationships. You can learn more about somebody. You can learn more about yourself in the midst of it. We often see it as a necessary evil, as a way to start meetings or initiate conversation, or just a plain pain because we have to do it at mixers and corporate events. But a lot can happen during that. And because many people feel awkward in it, as you said, people try to script it. They try to make it very formal, which strips it of the value that it has. The spontaneity of small talk is part of the power of it. So as you rightly mentioned, there are things we can do to approach it in a structured way without it being scripted. You know, I like to use the analogy of sports. If you've ever played a sport before, you know you practice and you train. So if you're a soccer player or a basketball player, you'll dribble around cones a lot. Not because they're cones in the game. I mean, the cones get replaced by people and people don't stand still like cones do. But the virtue of practicing the cones, going into it with a plan, that helps you navigate in the moment. And that's what having a structure and at least some ideas that you might want to talk about in a small talk situation can help. So I agree that scripting is a bad idea. And there are things we can do to set ourselves up better for success in those moments.
I'm going to try to frame this question. I think you'll know where I'm going with it. Have you heard of ChatGPT?
What are you talking about? Let me type it into this generative AI tool I have to get me an understanding of what that is. On my podcast, Sam, I interviewed ChatGPT. We were trying to think about the impact that generative AI was going to have on communication, and we kept brainstorming. And I finally said, let's just interview it and see. So we typed in questions, and then we did a text-to-voice simulator, and it spoke answers out, and then we edited it together. So yes, I'm familiar with ChatGPT. I've actually talked to it.
And, you know, I guess one of the things I wonder in this kind of combines the statement you made a few minutes ago around sport and repetition. You know, I've always considered the fact that, you know, maybe some younger workers today entering the workforce have just not maybe had as many reps as prior generations have had, you know, just maybe not as in, again, being a sports coach, maybe just haven't had as many opportunities to practice. If you were a talent leader today, I'm kind of sending you back into the past here, I guess.
As a teacher, I feel like I'm a talent development specialist too.
True. No, absolutely. But let's say you're in an organization who's trying to prepare folks for work. What would you be thinking about in this moment, given the fact that maybe certain job functions and certain tasks are being, you know, outsourced or offboarded onto other automation or technology or software? What are the most important things to be coaching our people on today when it comes to communication?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I'm not sure I have the answer. I have some thoughts on potential answers. So you are right that younger folks today haven't had the same reps a lot of us have had. And because those of us who are older are still in the workforce, we've got what, four generations potentially in a workforce. Those that are older who had those reps and who have the expectations of what communication looks like in a professional setting, those who are younger might be at a disadvantage. That said, I think in 10, 15 years, we're going to see a very different way of which people communicate at work, and the younger folks will be right in that sweet spot. What I think are really important concepts for us to be thinking about is we look at our younger workers, or any workers really, in the age of AI. Communication is all about connection, and it's all about empathy. And generative AI, while they can present you with relevant information, there's something more to connection than just being relevant. And we can work on that. So we can teach people to paraphrase, to listen, to connect ideas that might not have a direct logical connection, to read the emotion of somebody as they're saying it. You know, somebody can say, I'd love feedback, but what they really mean is I want support because I feel like that meeting didn't go so well. So those are the skills that we need to be working on with people. The most popular class at Stanford's Graduate School of Business is a class called Touchy Feely. That's not its formal name. It's called Interpersonal Dynamics. And it is those skills that our future leaders really need. And it is those skills that AI cannot replace. And so I would lean heavily into that as a way of helping people approach what is coming in terms of workforce.
I love it. I mean, I think this stuff is so important today, just given the not just the realities of what has happened with workers, given maybe some of the assumptions and systems in place, but also given the new wave of workers coming in who are going to take over leadership roles and are moving into management roles and are very well intended, but maybe are just thirsty for systems at a time when, you know, so many organizations just maybe don't invest as much as they would like to into the people development function.
Yeah, you know, when I was running learning and development, the argument I used to always make to get resources and is it takes time to develop these skills. And what you're preparing for is not the world of today, but the world of tomorrow. And we need to invest up front to help make sure that we're ready as it goes. And to some success, I had some success doing that. I didn't have as much success as I wanted to.
Totally. Yeah. It's, it feels like that's a challenge that, you know, has not changed much. You know, I've talked to HR leaders and people in roles in training and development that it's a constant battle to make sure that you get the resources and the dollars and the investment from leadership in order to do the things that, you know, you want to do to prepare your workforce.
Absolutely.
Well, Matt, final question for you, and everybody, you know, really excited for the release of Think Faster, Talk Smarter. You know, we're talking about these are obviously critical skills that are important for the future of work. Matt, what's your hope for the future of work?
I love that question. I would love for us all in our work to be able to really maximize our potential as individuals and as organizations. I am often brought in to triage issues that have arisen around communication and dysfunction and conflict. And I see such potential in so many of these organizations. So my wish for the future of work is that through effective communication, through collaboration, through respect, we will actually be able to maximize the potential of each individual and the good that the organizations they're part of can contribute to the world. I know that sounds Pollyanna-ish, but I have seen that when you go in and do the hard work that I'm often brought in to help companies with, goodness can come as a result. So while Pollyanna-ish, it's based on some real world experience I've had.
Matt, thanks for taking time.
Thank you. Thanks for the conversation, Sam.
You know, one of my favorite parts about talking to Matt was, you know, if you really see, you know, a lot of the theory come to life from the techniques and the strategies that he shares in the book. And I think that's probably one of my biggest takeaways is, you know, as you pick up Think Faster, Talk Smarter, you know, you'll notice that Matt is very thoughtful in his own communication, not just of what behaviors and what actions you can take, but also in explaining why that matters and what that will do if you take that technique or action and put it into play. You know, today, organizations, you know, they may be talking, but they may not be communicating. And as our world moves so fast and we have digital platforms we're communicating with and talking through, you know, it means that leaders have an opportunity and a responsibility to find ways to cut through the clutter. They must continuously think of, you know, apply new techniques and modify techniques as generational shifts change, maybe the way that new workers in their workforce accept and understand and relate to information. I also enjoyed the conversation with Matt around workers in different socioeconomic backgrounds or different corners of the workforce, you know, may have trouble understanding certain, you know, communications at work for some segments of your workforce versus others. And, you know, I think that's the one big takeaway. If you haven't, you know, obviously head on over to your local bookstore and pick up Think Faster, Talk Smarter by Matt Abrams. You know, you won't regret it. The techniques in the book, there's a lot of books that I read in the business category that just have a lot of stuff in it. And, you know, they talk in circles. You know, the books that are 300 pages, it should be 50 pages. You know, I think one of the things Matt does a really good job of is he provides, you know, theory and background, and they provide some real application, action-oriented structures you can take and employ, whether you are a veteran leader managing and coaching folks, or if you're someone new to the role of leadership and you're trying to establish your own philosophy and framework and foundation. So thank you to Matt Abrams for joining us. Now don't forget to subscribe to Bring It In so you never miss an episode. We've got some awesome guests lined up that you're not going to want to miss. Now, back to work.